Hello, hello, hello.
Ooh,
okay. It is.
Perfect.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to our podcast.
Hello.
Welcome to our podcast. This is a great time.
This is a podcast.
This is a podcast.
Welcome.
It's something that we needed to talk about, but I'm glad that we didn't rush into it and we didn't, like, record an episode like that day when it happened. Like, it was January 6th when the, like, Capitol riots happened, and, like, that's obviously what we're going to be addressing. But it's now January 12th, so we've had almost a week to, like, digest it and gather our thoughts and think about what we want this episode to be. And I think that that's, like, completely to our benefit that we gave ourselves that much time, you know?
Yes, and I tried to give myself some space off of social media too, because I needed to process my words, process my thoughts and emotions. And I think because we waited a long time, now we are ready to kind of go about it in a different standpoint. And rather than shoving our opinions in everyone's faces for this episode, we figured we would have a productive conversation, an educational conversation, about what our emotions were telling us when it happened that day and the days following. So I am kind of excited for this episode. However, I am kind of sad that we have to have this discussion.
Yeah. I think every time something like this happens, it's like a double-edged sword, because you're glad that the country starts to have the rhetoric that it starts to have, but you're also like, I wish we weren't talking about this at all. I wish it hadn't happened, you know?
Right, yeah. It's sad, but, you know, it is what it is. It's something we are both passionate about as far as our opinions on it and how we have been brought to our opinions and thoughts. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's, like, the preface for the episode.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we wanted to go ahead. We can just give a couple disclaimers now, I guess. The first one for me is that for the first part of this recording, my child is with me. So if you hear any child background noise, we're doing our best to keep it to a minimum, but just ignore it. The next disclaimer is that this episode structure is going to be a little bit different. We know it's only our third episode, so we're still sort of like establishing a structure, but we are going to do your listener responses from last week up front, because once we get into this topic, we don't want to pull back out of it and then go back into it for a call to action. So yeah, we're gonna do it up front and add it as a part of the intro, and then we're gonna get onto our main topic, and once we're talking about that, that's what we'll be talking about for the rest of the episode.
Sounds great to me.
Do you have any other, like, disclaimer things you want to get out of the way?
Yes. So I do want to say, this is a sensitive topic. So if we, or I specifically, this is coming from me, so that's why I'm saying, speaking for myself, if I say something that is incorrect or say something that comes off the wrong way, I would appreciate it if people told me through our page or, you know, DM my personal Instagram. I'm not the most educated person in the world. But this episode is about our education and our knowledge, our feelings, and what we know about this topic, and how we have come to form the opinions that we have today. So my disclaimer is that, you know, we're open to learning more, obviously. And, you know, I'm not like a 100% educator. Like, I'm not a professor at a school. I literally just, like, work in the corporate world and I do my best.
Just a normal gal over here.
Just a normal gal. So, trying to learn more, you know, as I go through life, but I'm here to share what I know, and that's the point of having a podcast. But it's also good to learn more from other people. So
yeah,
that's my disclaimer.
Yeah, that goes for me too. So everything, yeah, if we at any point, like, we welcome your input, we welcome your point of view. Like, if we say something that offends you, we want to, like, welcome you to let us know. There will be some cases where we're like, yeah, we just don't align with what you think, and that's perfectly okay. But, like, if we're just flat out wrong about something or we need to be educated about something, then please do that, because we're always looking to, like you said, be a part of like that type of discussion and engagement. So
right, and don't come at us with your hate, like
we're not interested.
Come hate on us, but I'm saying, like, if I say something that's incorrect or inaccurate, I mean, that's the same thing, but or something that offends you, something that is ignorant to say, that is when I welcome feedback, critical feedback, because, you know, we're always learning.
So, all right, listener responses. I guess we'll, like, go ahead and get into that. Val, since I did the honors last week, would you want to do the honors this week? Of course.
So we are doing the affirmations that were from the last episode. So here we go. I'm finding the comments. Okay. I'm going to go in order from when they were posted. So the first one is, sorry, I apologize. Okay. The first one is, was yours, Allison. Your jealousy affirmations. I am doing my best. I am capable of good and still blooming. Absolutely love it.
Yay.
Absolutely love it.
thank you.
It's kind of similar to mine. So Tati, one of our listeners, she said comparison is the thief of joy, which I absolutely love, because I totally agree.
Me that that's too. Kind of
what comparison does. It just steals away the joy out of your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to read, I'm sorry.
You're fine.
Okay, there's another one. This was Tati as well. Her affirmation next time she gets jealous, what are you feeling is valid, but take a step back and remember that you have so much to be thankful for and what some people wish they had.
Oh, I love that.
I love that one. That one's so good.
Some gratitude sprinkled in there for sure.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of studies and a lot of like podcasts about doing a gratitude exercise in the beginning of your day. I need to get better at doing that, but that is something that other people have said really helps them out of that jealousy mindset and the comparison mindset as well. So if you struggle with that, definitely recommend doing a gratitude exercise. You can literally Google like or Pinterest a gratitude exercise and you'll find a free one.
Yeah.
You don't have to like pay for a journal or anything.
Yeah.
And then the one that I posted, my affirmation is I'm in the right place at the right time doing the right thing.
Yay. I love that, Val.
Because I feel like when I do get jealous and I do start comparing myself to other people, when I remind myself that I'm in the right place at the right time doing the right thing, I'm able to remember that, like, my life is separate from everyone else's, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, my life is not theirs, so therefore I'm doing great.
Yeah. And I think, like, when you remind yourself that everybody's just, you know, in the right place doing the right thing at the right time, like, it's really easy to remember that. I think, I don't know, for me, it's easier to be on the same playing field and not be jealous of people if I can remember that we're all coming from, like, a place of just trying to do our best and, like, none of us have it figured out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, that was the responses from last week. We are going to have a call to action at the end of this episode as well. So you'll be able to comment again with your feedback and the call to action for this episode.
Yeah.
Do you just want to dive into the main topic?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to give another little disclaimer. This episode will have ads. Val and I did spend time compiling our resources and coming up with kind of our own personal journeys and how we were going to word those. So just letting you know, there will be ads, quick ones. They're not there to offend anybody or to try to capitalize off something that happened. It's just how this episode's going to work. So we're going to have one of those, and then we'll move into the main topic. So I know we kind of wanted to start by giving our, like, initial thoughts on everything.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, how did you, like, find out about it? Like, what were you doing?
I literally I took a little cat nap during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my lunch break. Don't fire me. It was my lunch break.
And she works from home, so.
I work from home. Okay. Okay. So, I took a little cat nap during my lunch break, and I walk into the office of our apartment, and my roommate is also working from home at the time, and she still is. But anyways, she was like, "Did you see what's happening?" And I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
And I open Twitter, mm-hmm. and it's like Capitol riot, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, what did I wake up to? This is a complete mess." Honestly, was I surprised? No.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really sad. But I was surprised that it was happening that day, I guess. Like, I was expecting that stuff to happen during the inauguration or after the inauguration. And so I was just kind of taken aback that it was so happening so early. But it was the day that, you know, Congress was approving Joe Biden at, like, the electoral votes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, I was just a little shocked. I didn't really know what to say.
Yeah, that's how I felt, too. I was like, because when I found out, my friend Emmy was here, and we were just kind of, like, hanging out, and she was reading a book to the baby, and then I was changing Laurel's diaper, and Emmy got on her phone, and she saw it on Instagram, I think, and was like, "Oh, my God, like, did you hear about this at all?" And I was like, "No, like, we've been together. I didn't hear about it. You didn't hear about it, you know?" And so then we just sort of, like you said, like, started looking at it, and I didn't even know, like, what to think at first. I was like, was this, like, I mean, obviously it was a planned thing because that many people showed up, but it was just like, it was terrifying. I was just, like, so overwhelmed and, like, terrified, honestly.
I was too. I was just kind of like watching the news while finishing up my work. And I couldn't take my – it was just – I was in shock. I still don't really have words as to how I felt that day, I guess.
Yeah.
I kind of more reacted to the reaction of what happened, if that makes sense. Like, obviously, I was scared for, you know, the people who work at the Capitol. Because it's not just, like, elected officials who work there. Like, there's normal people.
It's, like,
people.
Staff, maintenance people and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, like, normal humans who don't have, secretaries, like, a fancy title, they work there. So I was scared for them because, you know, can you imagine?
No. Yeah.
But at the same time, I was more angry at the reaction to what happened and how there was no, like, repercussions that day, I guess. Like, it took a lot of people to be angry for anyone to feel the need to do anything about what happened. Whereas, and I'm not comparing the two things because they're two completely different things. Over the summer, the Black Lives Matter protests, the reaction to peaceful protests was, it's violent, it's unnecessary, it's, you know, terrible. Like,
in the middle of a pandemic, how dare they?
Like, oh, can't wait to see the COVID numbers rise up. And the reaction to this was
completely different.
And they're not the same thing, because this is a terrorist attack. This is a domestic terrorism act. And it's over an election. It's not over
that already
innocently lost.
Yeah, and a fair election. like, probably one of the most fair because it was under the most scrutiny. There were so many people watching this election because it was so different than every other one that, I don't know, like, of any other election that could have been contested, this wasn't the one, you know?
No. No. And they, I mean, they recounted multiple states multiple times, more than once.
Right.
Georgia specifically. And it's just kind of like, you know, we were called snowflakes when we were upset 4 years ago. We mm-hmm. being Democrats. And, you know, we were told to, you know, fuck your feelings and get over it. And, you know, like, just wait and see. And I honestly, I gave Trump a chance. I remember, like, when he was elected, I was like, okay, Val, pull it together. This could be okay. Like, this could end up being fine. Right. All the other presidents have been fine. And granted, I was, you know, smaller. I was a smaller human back then, so it didn't affect me as much as it does now. But I was just, I gave it a chance, and then, you know, all of these things started happening, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, my feelings were right the first time.
Yeah, and not only my feelings, but, like, my actions, because I felt I was so upset because I was a part of the Women's March in Atlanta. And I remember getting scrutiny from, like, people that I knew, not, like, news sources or people on Twitter or whatever, like, actual people that I knew telling me, like, the election's over, you need to get over it. And, like, I don't want to be like, my candidate won the popular vote, but my candidate did. And that's also not what we were marching about. Like, we were saying we accept these results, and we're saying they're outrageous and they can't happen again. Right. And we understand that they happened, and that's the fucking problem. And that's right. what we're going to work to eradicate. Like, we weren't saying we're going to try to stop this process from happening. We were saying this process happened, we understand the results, and we don't like them. And so we're going to try for a different outcome next time. And, like, that's – I feel that's the mature way to respond when your candidate loses, is, like, I'm going to try harder to make my beliefs known and advocate for them for the next election, you know?
And that's the point of a protest. And a point of a protest is not to – destroy the government.
It's not supposed to be anarchy all over the place.
It's not supposed to take down democracy, which is the basis of our country and how we run. Like, a protest is to send a message to the majority of people who are in control, which is supposed to be the people, which they were this election.
So, I think that kind of covers our, like, initial thoughts. Do you want to – I know – I mean, it doesn't cover, like, all of our initial thoughts, but kind of, like
– The summary.
Yeah. The brief summary. How – because I know we wanted to talk about, like, our journeys of – because neither of us were – really thought this way, you know – in our past. And maybe if you would have told us, like, if you would have told me 10 years ago that I would be on the side I'm on, I would be surprised.
Me too.
I think that, and not saying I don't want to say side, because that's a terrible way to put it, but if you would have told me that I would have been affiliated with the beliefs that I'm affiliated with, I would have been like, what?
Right. Me too.
So I know specifically for this episode, we did want to talk about, like, white privilege and our journey to, like, understanding white privilege and getting there. So do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I would love to go first. I want to preface this part of the main topic. I know there's all these different parts of the main part.
Right.
But the reason why we are discussing this, because I know some people might come and say, why is everything about race? Well, because it is. Because everything is about race. Because
we've made it
about race. Our founding fathers made it about race. I'm sorry, but they did. Everyone in history in America has made it about race, so that's why it is. Also, the reaction of this terrorist attack, because that's what it is, calling it what it is, it was not a protest. The reaction to it was white privilege, and so that's why I wanted to talk about it. Because you would not see black people do that and have the same reaction that was had. If that makes I know my grammar is not perfect, but you know what I'm saying. So that's what I wanted to preface this part with, is that's why we are bringing up white privilege. That's why we're bringing up race, because the reaction was disgusting.
Yeah. One thing that I just wrote down while you were talking that this reminded me of, one of my professors in college that I really liked, which I'm actually going to talk about a little bit later, brought up a metaphor that when you're talking about, like, the route from the, like, past to the future, like, where we've been and where we're going, you can't have all of, like, these generations of people construct this huge mountain that we all have to figure out how to get around. And then when we're trying to come up with the route, say, but why do we have to talk about the mountain? Like, you can't, even though we didn't build the mountain, we didn't create it for ourselves, when we're figuring out how we're going to get from A to B, which in this case is, like, equality and understanding that, like, our actions are going to be judged the same, and you shouldn't be able to just storm the Capitol because you're white. Like, you should understand that there will be repercussions of your actions and that you will be labeled a domestic terrorist. Like, you don't own the Capitol building because you're white.
Right. And I'm very happy to see that a lot of them are being labeled as terrorists, and they're not, they're going on the no-fly list. They're not going to be vote. And they're being treated as such a terrorist because that's what they are.
Exactly. So I just think that that's a good metaphor, because that's honestly how I came to a lot of my, like, realization was metaphors. And I like that, like, we didn't build the mountain, but people before us did. So now that we're on the way to our destination, we can't not take the mountain into consideration. Right. You know, we can't say, like, we can't just, like, walk through it or continue as normal because there's this huge thing in our way and we have to figure out how to get over it or get around it or tear it down or something.
Yeah, and my thing is, like, this, and this is something that my coworker has said to me before, because I have gone to her multiple times about race issues and, think like, me being worried that I'm saying things that I'm not supposed to be saying. And stuff like that. And she was like, you know, she was educating me, like, we had an hour-long conversation, and she was like, you know, this is something that white people have built. So, to me, she was like, this is a white person problem to fix.
Right.
So, she basically nicely told me, you know, next time, take it to my own actions and step up to the plate and go find the information I'm looking for, rather than going to my black friends and being like, help, I'm white.
I don't understand this. Yeah.
Help me. I'm dumb. You know? Right. So
like, it's not their responsibility to teach you. It's your responsibility to educate yourself.
Yes. And understand why our country is the way it is and why the world is the way it is, and fix it. And so that's why I wanted to do this episode like this, is because it's very important for white people to talk about this. And, you know, further educate everyone around us of all colors, you know, of what we know, and just have these conversations. So, anyways, so back to the
Val's journey,
my journey on how I got educated. So, I was an All Lives Matter, I don't see color type girl. I was that girl. Okay. And I thought everything was bliss. You know, slavery was abolished, and, you know, everyone has rights. And
my president's black, my Lambo's blue.
So, I thought, you know, everything was good. Everything was well. I actually was a, I identified myself as a Republican as well, which I didn't know why. I really didn't know why. Thinking back, I didn't, but I did. And thankfully, I was not old enough to vote. which, there's nothing wrong with, you know, the Republican view as far as policies go. I don't see mm-hmm. anything wrong with being a Republican. However, being a conservative Trump-supporting person is completely different, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a whole different breed of people.
Yes, that is my opinion. So, anyways, I remember I went to UGA for a semester, and that's a whole other story for another time why it was only one semester, but I was there. And it's a great school, great education system, and I learned a lot in that one semester.
Yeah.
And I took a women's multicultural class.
Ooh.
It was amazing. Okay, but listen, I went in that class coming home yelling to my roommate, just venting to mm-hmm. my best friend Lauren, and being like, I don't understand, like, white people can be a victim of racism, and yes. I have experienced racism against white people, and I don't see color, like, I'm not a racist, I don't treat people differently because of their color, and all lives should matter. And it was like the first month I came home almost every single day pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think happened is I was more pissed off about myself having to put down my pride
mm-hmm.
and admitting that mm-hmm. I was part of the problem.
Yeah.
So, over time, we, you know, discussed the definitions of all the different types of racism, because it's not just one thing.
Right.
All the types of discrimination and prejudice and all of these different definitions. I remember that day clearly. That was the day that I realized I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had studied, we literally just Googled the definition of racism, definition of institutional racism, and then mm-hmm. there's internalized racism and prejudice and discrimination and all these different definitions. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I was discriminated against. I was not a victim of racism, because white right. people cannot be a victim of racism. It's not a thing.
Right.
And, oh, white privilege and that stuff. So I realized that, you know, no, I was not like a flat out racist, but I do benefit from white privilege, and mm-hmm. I put down my pride, and I realized that it's Black Lives Matter, it's not All Lives Matter, because
right.
All Lives Matter cannot happen until Black Lives Matter too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm really glad that we're talking about this, because our stories are super similar, because it happened for me in a like one of my first college classes too.
Oh.
And like almost the same thing, like legitimately I came home pissed every single day, and like mm-hmm. I have no idea what this guy's talking about, and like thinking I was gonna fail the class because I like just genuinely didn't understand or agree with anything the guy was saying. I was like saying I was gonna drop the class, and yeah, but we'll get into all of that. I want to make sure I don't like cut you off with like anything you're gonna
That was just the start.
Yeah.
Like, because
well, yeah, of course you kept educating yourself.
Right. I mean, over time, I got more comfortable with asking other people and listening to other people's experiences.
Yeah.
And in a way to where I didn't make it about myself, because mm-hmm. I think that's something that white people do in general, is whenever they are listening to a Black person say, you know, I experienced this and mm-hmm. this and this and this, and we bring it to ourselves to make
right.
us feel better and do a reflective type thing, because we don't want to admit that, you know, we are part of the issue.
That we have work to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, like, after I took that class, I just became, I was just more open, I guess, Obviously, I still have learning to do. I still have more things to educate myself on and do more research and read and listen and all these things. Mm-hmm. But that was just the start. And especially going into the real world after college, I have learned a lot about other people and the history of Georgia and the history of our country. Yeah. And yeah, so that was my moment that I realized. So.
That you realized?
I was wrong. I was part of the issue.
I think that I had a very similar experience. For me, it was at Kennesaw State. I don't even remember what the name of the course was, but there was like a section of classes because I thought I went to school to be a teacher. I thought I was going to be a teacher. I wanted to teach high school literature and to teach, I can't remember if it was to teach any grades or if it was to teach like upper grades, but you had to take a certain amount of like culture in education classes, basically, of like understanding your students and their backgrounds, you know? And, because, like, obviously, not everybody's going to start at the same place as you, no matter where you land. So if you're going to be an educator, you need to, like, have some sort of understanding of, like, everybody on a basic level, you know? So I really appreciated that Kennesaw did that and that they, like, wanted to instill these values in their educators early on, you know? And I, again, hated the class for a majority of the semester, and I would come home and I would like call my boyfriend on the phone and be like, I don't understand what this guy is talking about. And my professor was Indian American, so his mother and father immigrated from India before he was born. And so, if I'm remembering correctly, again, this was like not a long time ago, but a few years ago. And I doubt this professor is listening, but just in case he is, I'm sorry if I got something wrong. No, but yeah, so he sort of experienced, like, he talked about the privilege that he had and that he recognized not being the generation that had to immigrate, like being the generation that was born in the United States, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it wasn't until I started to realize that, like, he wasn't born with that awareness of, like, where his privilege lied. He had to, like, come to that awareness, you know? Mm-hmm. That's when I started to, like, open up about trying to listen to him, because before I would go home and like bitch to my roommates or my boyfriend or whoever and be like, I feel like this guy just hates white people, and because he's not white, he just is. I literally would say, like, I think he's jealous of white people, which, like, looking back is just a terrible thing to say.
Yeah.
A really shameful thing to say, really. And again, like, do not stand behind that sort of ideology at all. But yeah, it wasn't until we did an exercise in class that was actually in one of the like workbooks that he had us, you know, like they'll assign not just textbook but like workbooks too for the course. So I'll show you on FaceTime, but then we'll upload it to our Instagram. And for anybody who doesn't have Instagram, you can look it up by Googling either Wheel of Privileges, or you can Google the whole name, which is the excuse me, clear my throat for the name of this like sociological graph. It is the intersecting axis of privilege, domination, and oppression. And let me make it a little bit smaller on my screen so you can see the whole thing at one time, Val. So basically the top part, it's separated on like a horizontal axis, and the top mm-hmm. part is based on your society, like what your society favors. So like for genderism, our society favors masculine or male and then feminine or female. So like men first, then women. And then if you're anything else, you're pretty much like fucked, you know? And then for racism, white, Eurocentricism, European heritage, heterosexism, heterosexual. So basically every culture, this is going to look different because they're going to have different issues. But for our culture, it is these things. And you can kind of see like where you line up on the spectrum. You can be like, okay, I am like gender normative. So I'm on the dominant side of that. But I'm female, so I'm on the oppressed side of this.
Oh,
I'm white, so I'm on the dominant side of this. I'm of European heritage, so I'm on the dominant side of that. I'm heterosexual.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, so then...
I've never seen this before.
It's so helpful to, like, give you an objective thing. Like, you're literally staring all your privileges in the face. And then you can be honest with yourself of, like, okay, I have privilege in these areas, and these areas I don't. Or, you know... however you want to use it, but it's like a genuine look at how much privilege you have. And I don't know, that was the clicking moment for me of like how you said Googling everything sort of helped it click for you. That was the click for me of like, oh my God, I actually, even though I'm down here on some of these things, I'm actually up here on most of them. And it's, right. This is the objective point of view. And then also just looking at people in my class and realizing that like I had, I don't remember how many sections there are, but say there are 20 sections and 17 of mine were like the dominant preferred trait. But then literally the person sitting next to me in the same class had, you know, surface level, same credentials because we're sitting in the same class, only had 8 of those dominant factors, you know?
Wow.
And so then it was like, oh shit, that person had to work that many more times, like harder than me to get to where I am. And we're sitting in the same place, you know? So I think that that was like, that was the moment for me. That was the thing that like helped it click for me, I guess.
Yeah. That's very interesting to see. And I feel like that's really good for people who are kind of in denial about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I definitely was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the realization of, you know, like white privilege specifically.
Yeah.
Race was not an issue for you to get where you were.
Right.
Like your skin color was not a problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it means. And people, like, what I thought back in the day was white privilege meant that I was racist. Like, white privilege meant I was, I had no issues and I was perfect.
Yeah.
And this and that and the other. And I'm like, I work hard for where I'm at and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that what I was saying was just discrediting what minorities go through.
Yeah. And like to your point earlier, people saying like Black Lives Matter or saying that you have white privilege, like quite frankly has very little to do with you, you know, like that
right.
is not, I don't want to say it has very little to do with you because obviously like it does, but it's not about you. Like Black Lives Matter isn't about white people. And, like,
no.
White privilege isn't about – I mean, it's for it, – white people need to, like, eradicate that issue. But it's – I don't know what I'm trying to get out here. Is that making any sense at all? Like, it's
– No, it is. It is. Basically, it's just, like, it's not – the issue is not surrounded by you.
Yeah. Like, you're making it about yourself, and it's not about yourself.
Right.
You know?
And that's a very selfish way to go about it, is making it about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, looking back at what happened over the summer, I kind of wish that I had not done,
mm-hmm.
was make it about my emotions and how I feel. And I feel like I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back at it now, I'm like, I shouldn't have done that, because that's kind of discrediting and taking away from those who are actually directly affected by it. And I'm not directly affected by it.
Yeah.
But my friends are.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that looking back, I kind of, you know, made the issue surrounded by my feelings and my opinions and my blah, 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 blah. But really, I should have just made it more about the people who do go through it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, you should have you just wish that you'd handled it in a way that was more centered around the people that it was dealing with instead
about.
Of... Yeah, which makes sense.
Instead of myself.
And yeah. I think that that's a great transition into, like, our next segment or, like, part of the podcast. We want to share some resources in addition to sort of, like, our stories and our aha moments that have either helped us, like, recently or in the past, just sort of get to the place that we're at so that you can utilize those resources as well. These aren't, like, supposed to be reflective of all of our opinions, and we also didn't share them with each other ahead of time, so we might repeat each other's. The only assignment for this was for us to come up with things that were important to ourselves. So Val came up with 5, and I came up with 5. This isn't supposed to be, like, a perfect list of 10 things that will make you a well-rounded human being and help you feel like you did your part after the domestic terrorist attacks. Like, that's not what this is for. This is 5 things from Val and 5 things from me. And just take that for what it is. So I can share my 5 first, or you can, Val. It doesn't really matter to me.
Can we do you want to do 1 and 1?
Yes.
And 2 and 3 and 3?
Yeah, let's do
that. Let's do 1 at a time. Okay. But you can go first.
Well, my first one is Black Lives Matter. I felt like that was just, there were so many issues with what happened, but I feel like to focus on any of them before Black Lives Matter would be a disservice to everything that happened this year. Like, this year was so, not this year, last year. Thank God it's not 2020 anymore. But last year, like, I don't know. There was just a lot of focus on that, as there should have been. And so I feel like to have Black Lives Matter be a part of this conversation and not have it be, like, at the forefront would be a big disservice to that cause. So,
yes. I love that.
What about you? What's your first one?
So my first one is related to that.
Mm-hmm.
It is called Anti-Racism Resources for White People.
Ooh, okay.
And I have it in the link of my personal Instagram bio. Mm-hmm. It's the first link in my link tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally has books if you're a parent, like books for your children.
Mm-hmm.
You have books for yourself. There's petitions in there. And I don't know who made it, but whoever did is a godsend. there's movies to watch, shows to watch.
Wow.
And just articles to read. Like, there's all these different resources that a white person can go and educate yourself and mm-hmm. help make a difference. So, it's literally called Anti-Racism Resources for White People. Just Google that. It's going to be one of the first things. It's a Google Doc type link, so yeah.
Perfect. Love that. Okay. Well, my next one is going to be urging you to donate either time, money, encouraging words, resources, whatever you have to a mutual aid for the frontliners and activists in DC. So there are tons of different mutual aids going on. And you can literally just Google that. But there is a direct link that I'll put in our Instagram bio that will direct you to, like, where you can donate. Those are just, again, a mutual aid is like a group fund almost, a bunch of people collectively coming together to lend aid. And right now there are a bunch going on for people who are, like, activists in DC, as well as I know there are some for, like, fire and police to make sure that if something crazy happens, you know, surrounding the inauguration, that the police and firefighters are, like, more than prepared for that, since Capitol staff police obviously was not this last week. So I'll put that in our bio, but look up some. There are tons. I'm not going to tell you, like, which one you have to go donate to, because there are a bunch. So just find one that aligns with your values.
Perfect. Okay, so my next one is less of a resource. I have two that are less of a resource, but more of like a tip from me. The first one, well, I guess it's my second quote, end quote, resource, but it is to urge you to take a cultural class if you're still in college. Sign up for that as your elective. It's amazing.
That's great.
You'll probably, if you are still in the mindset of white privilege doesn't exist and all lives matter and color, we shouldn't see color, that is definitely a first step to understanding the world better, because history was not taught correctly in high school and middle school and elementary. And college keeps it real. So I highly recommend taking a cultural class if you're still taking classes.
Yes, definitely. My third one is an article. It's called Social Media Continues to Amplify White Supremacy and Suppress Anti-Racism. And that article is by Forbes, and it sort of just helped me realize the things that I was engaging with or seeing on social media that were contributing to a rhetoric opposite of the one that I want to be engaging with. So,
interesting. I'll have to read that one.
I'm definitely going to read it again, because it honestly like blew my mind the first time. It's one of those you kind of have to digest and then go back and read again.
Wow. I'm very interested in reading that. My next one is also a suggestion. So if you are out of college and you are working in the workforce, corporate America, or honestly any other company, whatever you do, mm-hmm. If your work has a club or a forum, that is, like, we have the Black Professionals Forum, and so I have joined that, and they give, you know, webinars and just other educational resources and just ways for you to volunteer, things for you to donate to. So if you're, like, check if your company has something like that so mm-hmm. that you can join and you can start making a difference in your workplace, because you spend 40 hours a week there, you might as well make a difference while you're there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that, Val. My next one is a book that I actually read in one of my awesome college courses about culture and race and all those things. And it's called More Than Just Race. We're going to be putting all of these up on social media, so I'm not even going to say that. But it is kind of just about that notion of, like, why does everything have to be about race, and kind of getting you to see that, like, it's not about the, like, black and white, like, race issue. It's about so much more than that. And I like it because it challenges points of view, like, more conservative points of view and more liberal points of view. So mm-hmm. it's not just pointing fingers at, like, one side and saying, like, you're wrong and you should do it the way that other people are doing it. It's like taking both sides and saying, like, you're both wrong, these are the ways that you both need to improve, you know. And it's really not that political, but just so people know, like, it is a very fair, middle of the road book to read. And
I love that.
Yeah, it just kind of challenges, like, that question of, like, why does everything have to be about race? It really shows you that, like, everything already is, and so it's better to just yeah. address it in a healthy way than to act like, yes. you know, no race is involved in anything, you know?
Yes, I love that. So I am excited to read that. I love all your resources. I love that we did this and not told each other before, because I'm excited to read all that, and I knew that we were going to have completely different
yeah answers. That's what I was just going to say. I'm excited because I knew they would be so different.
So my next one is the movie 13th on Netflix. I got that idea from the anti-racism resources for white people. I got it from that document, and it was one of the first recommended movies, so I was like, you know what, it's already on Netflix, I'm going to just press play, have a glass of wine. And I was, like, bawling by the end of it. Mm-hmm. Because it does open your eyes and it helps you see kind of from the political perspective on why things are the way they are in our government today. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting. So definitely watch it. I highly recommend.
Awesome. And that's great because that's like if you have a Netflix account or access to one of your friends' Netflix accounts, then you can do it. That's like, you know, very accessible.
And I'm not a reader, so I wanted to go through the movies and stuff first because I can't finish a book for my life. So.
Understandable. Well, my last recommendation is if you are a parent or if you interact with children on a normal basis in any capacity, if you're a babysitter, if you're a nanny, if you're an aunt or an uncle or a neighbor of children or somebody who's going to be having verbal communication with children of any kind, if you're a cashier at a grocery store and you see kids, you need to do this. And that's following at The Conscious Kid on Instagram. Or if you don't have an Instagram, just looking up their profile and checking in every now and again. You spell that, obviously, at, and then TheConsciousKid. And they have a lot of tips, and also like a lot of, you know, posts where somebody will put up like a teachers tell me this thing and then a bunch of teachers will comment, or like just that sort of, like, it's a forum but it's just Instagram comment style thing.
Right, yeah.
They talk about how to address things like this with kids and how to healthily explain to children things like why people are rioting. And, like, even if they don't explain it, they direct you to people who can. And it's just, like, trying to make people more aware of, like, the things that they say and do when they're around children because of how impressionable they are. And it's very important when minds are young to be actively anti-racist, so that that is something that is, like, ingrained in them, that racism is a behavior that is not tolerable and unacceptable, not one to be ignored. And it's not acceptable from anybody in your life, not just you. And so, yeah, if you're trying to raise children with those beliefs, I highly, highly recommend. Or again, if you're going to be around children that will be raised to hold those beliefs, I highly recommend that Instagram account.
I love that. And that's something that you don't really think about because you don't want to drown your children in your views. Mm-hmm. You don't want to give them the hard topics, which is why I think the education system is so messed up when it comes to our history, is because they don't want to tell us the bad things. Mm-hmm. But to be able to explain it in a way that is, you know, kid safe.
Yeah.
I think that's great. My last source is actually an Instagram account as well.
Oh, fun.
So that is good to know. So mine is more about getting the correct perspective from the news. Mm-hmm. I just recently found this Instagram, and what they do is they put the left media, what they said, the right media, what they said, and then they find the news sources that are in the middle, and they also post that. So you can see how all of the different articles are labeled, how they're all written, and they also, like, ask you opinions through the stories. Like, they ask polls, and then on their website you can actually vote a certain way, and then they urge you to have a discussion with someone who voted the complete opposite. So it's really, really cool. Interactive. It's really cool. So the Instagram is called All Sides Now. That is at All Sides Now, AllSidesNow.
Yay, I love that. I'm definitely gonna have to follow them, like, as soon as we get off of this.
Yes, I followed it the other day, and I just keep checking back, because, you know, that is something that is so hard nowadays, mm-hmm. is to find a news article that is not biased towards one way or the other, and especially when we have an historical event every other day.
Yeah.
It's really important to stay informed with an unbiased standpoint, so.
Yep. For sure.
Mine.
Well, I think that's all the resources that we have, and we're going to keep the call to action and everything short today. We're not going to add any cutesy frilly stuff in, I don't think. So If you want access to the resources that we've listed, we're going to be posting them after this episode. I think we said we're going to post them day by day, right? So
yeah,
we'll each post our first one and a little bit like more in depth about it after this episode comes out on Friday, and then our second one's on Saturday, third one's on Sunday, so on and so forth. So yeah, follow us at This Is 20 Pod on Instagram if you want to see that stuff. The way you spell that is ATHISISTWENTYPOD. And that is also where you can interact with us for like really anything. That's where we're going to be checking most often. We also are doing something called Honorary 20 Something of the Week. So we'll be announcing that. I believe we are doing that on Wednesdays. So be looking out for that. Interact with us if you want to be Honorary 20 Something of the Week. And then, yeah, do you want to talk about our call to action a little bit? And then I'll give the information for how people can do that.
Yes. So we wanted our call to action to be something that would benefit everyone who follows our Instagram account as well as us, so that we can educate ourselves further as well. So we wanted to ask you guys to please post around 5 resources on the episode post. We will post whenever there's a new episode out. Yeah. And just comment on that post with resources that have helped you educate yourself on any topic that we covered today. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah. And then if you want to take it one step further, and you want to take some actual action this week, and you feel led to join the group of people that believes that Donald Trump should be removed from office and impeached so that he can be federally investigated and someday potentially indicted for his actions as president of the United States, then you can text IMPEACH, IMPEACH, to 50409. And ResistBot is a program that will contact your legislators on your behalf. So it's super simple, super easy. If you don't feel led to do that, don't do that. Ignore that. Just post your resources and go about your day. But if you feel that that is something that is necessary so that justice can be sought for some of these criminal acts, then you are free to do that. There's the information on how.
I know. I definitely will be texting.
Same here. I know.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry if you disagree, but bye.
I know. Gosh. If you made it this far in the episode, you probably know.
You probably know how we feel. Welcome to the dark side.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to episode 3, even though it was a little bit more heavy than normal. Barring any domestic terrorist attacks or national headliners that we feel need to be addressed, we'll be going back to regularly scheduled This Is 20-something content next week. So
This Is 20-something. It's 2021.
Yeah.
We're in the 20-somethings, so unfortunately, it is still...
This is still 20-something.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 3. I hope that you were able to get some good content out of this, and please let us know if I said something that was incorrect.
Yeah, and go to our personal Instagrams to do that. If one of us said something that you feel like we need to be educated on, because we both run the This Is 20 Pod Instagram, so if you contact that one, there's a chance you might contact the wrong person depending on who checks it first. So if you take issue or have something to add to anything I had to say, my Instagram is at Allison R. Carpenter, at AllisonRCarpenter.
And my Instagram, if you need to call me out for something, is at val.burns. That's val.burnes.
Awesome. Well, I think that's all we can do for today, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Bye, guys.